someone. I was talking with a dear brother this week, and he asked me, did I know what it took to see a demon? I said, yes, I do. Do you? He said, yes, another demon. Just as the Spirit of God beareth witness between or to the saints of God, and one with another, the Spirit of God bears witness, likewise the spirit of Satan. So you keep that in mind. When someone sees a demon, I fear that their eyes may still be cloaked in darkness to the light of the world, the light of mankind, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, many questions have been asked me in the past 2 weeks about the latest translation of the scriptures that was carried on, I believe, in England and just released. And I've been studying, thinking, and praying for an answer. And our fellow men, the Catholics, you remember, they have their Bible. Now, in the early church age, something happened. I've questioned many Bible scholars, professors, and theologians. They're not able to pinpoint exactly what happened. But there was a fall, the great persecution. And of course, later you know what happened. The church, we had a church, the Church of Rome, and then our conviction is the true Church of Christ. There's been two Bibles since, two channels of thought. I'm believing, persuaded to believe, that before the Lord Jesus Christ ever returns for his own, every large religious body, every denomination, so to speak, it's of any size, will have their translation and interpretation of the scriptures. See, there's not too many interested today in passing on, thus saith the Lord, unless we can so rest God's word that it will be instrumental in promoting the channel of thought or the cause wherein we are involved. I hope I'm getting over to you what is upon my heart. But brother, sister, friend, neighbor, enemy, it behooves you to know what's written in the Word of God. I shall continue as my days are permitted to preach and teach from the James translation. I believe that it is sufficient. It would be ridiculous to think of the God of this universe that created heaven and earth and all things therein and permitted us to be conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, to be born like that. Then to send his son, crucify him, raise him from the dead, lift him back to his lordship, seat of lordship there at his right hand, and then let men translate the Hebrew and the Greek into false statement and proclaim it that men may not know. But I believe God gave us a translation here that is true, that we can preach and believe. Now, the generations before this translation did not have the English. They were in other languages, the old languages. And the generations to come, the Lord tarries, they're going to have many translations to come, but I'm afraid that we'll not be able to move from one to the other. without great damage to the truth of God and to our need of knowing the truth of God. So you be careful in the Bible, the translations rather, that you become attached to. I like the King James. It has just the keen edge that's needed to shear from us pride and hypocrisy and such like, if we care to listen. Moving this morning to the last thought in this series of messages, we come to the last R, and it is resurrection. We found that man was ruined because of his disobedience. Willingly, he exercised his free will in the garden, and it cost him his relationship with God, the fellowship that he enjoyed there, and his expulsion from the garden. And then we found that his only hope was God granting repentance for remission of sin, putting him in a state that God could impute unto him his own righteousness, and it was all done because of the redemptive work of Christ on Calvary. And now we come to the resurrection. Much preaching has been done to the past 40 days leading up to 35 days leading up to next Sunday, which will be the resurrection day, so they say. And men have been preparing their congregation for the resurrection message. But this morning we want to speak to you briefly concerning the resurrection. And we read the scripture we've been reading again in your hearing, that you see even in this short portion of Scripture, the resurrection of Christ is mentioned. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In the book of Romans, let's go back to Acts 13 for a statement. Romans 13, Acts 13 and 33, these words are found. "God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my beloved Son, this day have I begotten thee." Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, according to the Scriptures. Yea, if there be any preaching, let it be Christ crucified, buried, raised again the third day, as Paul says, for our justification. So Christ was raised from the dead. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 11. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Now, there is a resurrection. There was a resurrection. Many of the saints that slept in the bosom of the earth were raised bodily at the resurrection of our blessed Lord. They walked, and I'm led to believe, glory to God, they're walking in the holy city or in the presence of the Lord God of grace and glory today. Yea, they were resurrected from the grave. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 4, 5, and 6, I want you to read with me. Do you have your Bible? Are you following me in the Scriptures? It behooves you to search the Scriptures rather than having a preacher religion. Yes, many follow the preacher. Many follow religion or follow flesh in their religion. As long as their pastor said thus and thus, it's all right, regardless of what is written in the Holy Scriptures. But you need the Scriptures to make thee wise unto salvation. Many today are seeking bodily deliverance, but you need a spiritual deliverance. You're spiritually in a chains today, bound by the chains of Satan in the dungeon of darkness, spiritually speaking, and you need to be delivered. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now the Apostle John, the great divine saint that God used to give us 1 John and the Gospel according to John's writing, or the Holy Spirit rather, John being the writer, then 1st and 2nd and 3rd epistles of John, and then the book of Revelation. And here he says, I saw the souls of them. They were resurrected, and I saw them, John said. So therefore, from the Scriptures, that should be established in your mind by now, that there shall be a resurrection of your body and a uniting of your spirit with that resurrected body to stand before the God of all creation. Matthew 8:11 said, quicken their mortal bodies. Now he's speaking to the Christians there. But I want you to know that there is a resurrection of the non-Christian. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, can't you hear those voices as they piously address him? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? He could be thinking of the days that he robed himself, went in religious garments, and went before the congregations. In thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. And then God speaks back, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity? God speaking today, when did you come before him and take your place as a sinner, having fallen in Adam, having had the sin of transgression, unbelief, disobedience passed on to you because in Adam all sins? When did you come in such a condition and present yourself to God, standing in need of mercy and forgiveness of sin, there having your sins cast away? When did you do it? In our schools, our colleges, our seminaries, men, many of them are awakened to the fact that they had missed their calling. They awakened to the fact that God had not called them to preach the gospel. And it amazes me today, as our young people that have only made a profession of faith or a decision for Christ, which is not salvation, are persuaded to give themselves full time to Christian service. Oh, come be a missionary. Come to school and prepare for mission work. Come and study for the ministry. The school that first should be, we should receive a diploma from, is the school of conviction. Convicted first of the fact that we're a sinner. Second, that God is just and holy. Third, that we need righteousness that we're not able to manufacture ourselves, as so many present their works to God today before God for their salvation. We need the school of conviction. We need to graduate today from schools of conviction. Yea, convicted after we're saved that this is the eternal, infallible word of the sovereign God of the universe. Convicted that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, without sin. Convicted that he shed his blood for the remission of sin. Convicted that he rose from the dead, that he might raise us from the dead. In the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." Are you expecting to hear the voice of God? Do you now feel, do you now hear, rather, the God of creation sending a message of conviction into your bosom? Do you now find yourself empty? Do you now fear and doubt, having fears when the voice of God shall claim those from the dust? Do you? I fear then you know not the blessed Lord that died for sinners. Yea, in the grave shall hear his voice. O sinful carcasses, died in adultery, died in fornication, died in drunkenness, died in all manner of sin, coming forth to stagger before the throne of God, blaspheming the name of all above all names, to be sent to hell, along with the preachers, along with the false healers, along with all manner of deception, to be sent to hell forever and ever. Oh, you listen to God's word. And shall come forth, verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Listen to God's word in Luke chapter 13 and verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say again, those that are stand before him, then shall ye begin to say again, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not which ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Listen to me, friend that's listening this morning. Have you been before God a convicted sinner and brought to repentance? And had God to grace you with faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and the sinner's substitute to the saving of your soul? Have you done it? Most of this age today that are listening to me were rocked in a cradle in the cradle room. They were christened while little infants. Would to God you knew what that carried, brothers listening to me, sister. You'd sure think the second time before you'd act thus. Then they learned the catechism of the various denominations. And then they were confirmed. And most of them weren't confirmed in religion and know nothing of God and salvation. Yea, these are the ones that shall go away weeping and gnashing of teeth when they shall see old Abraham, the lying rascal, and old Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. I'm reading you God's word. I'm putting you right before the book, or the book before you this morning, beloved. God bless your heart. You ought to know what the book says, not what you hear up and down the land. Yes, God accused them. Being workers of iniquity. Word iniquity there means unrighteousness. Wrong. And the gospel, the truth of God, in a great percentage of the pulpit today is held in unrighteousness because they deny the sovereignty of God. They deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They scoff at blood redemption and second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the chief Pharisees and all back yonder paid the soldiers, praise God, to say they stole him away rather than he was resurrected. They laugh at his resurrection today. Yes, they do. The truth is held in unrighteousness. Men of old ordained unto condemnation to deceive the multitudes that wouldn't believe. Would to God you knew the fullness of those scriptures. Yes, God said he'd send them strong delusion, and he's sending the fellows now through the land. Yes, to deceive the multitude that's cried down. God's man laughed the whole counsel of God. Never did God put healing, deliverance, miracles, dreams, and feelings, and demons cast out, and visions, and light. Never did God put that before the salvation
of the poor, lost, doomed, and damned sinner's soul. No, he never done it. Christ to save that which was lost. I lay down my life for the sheep. Paul said in Romans 9, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Paul had a revelation from heaven. I want you to know that God reveals himself to those that he's saving, and they never get on it, over it. Those that God converts, saves, delivers, remain. They have a witness within. And it's a witness that remains. I'd love to be healed of a bad cold this morning. I'd feel much better, but I have it. I'm going to praise God that he's delivered my soul from the bonds of iniquity. He's forgiven my sin for Christ's sake. He has written or did write before the foundation of the world this old poor lost sinner boy's name in the book of life. Hallelujah. Yes, God's sovereign. I'm going to give him the glory, not the man, for raising this sinner from the dead and giving him, letting him know he has life. And that everlasting. May God bless you and keep you till next Lord's Day is our prayer. Write to us just a postcard. We'd appreciate hearing from you. And we hope that you'll take time to write us this week.